Ed, good afternoon to you. Glad to have you on board. Finally got the showers out of here. They're below us now and kind of drifting off to the southeast. But, yeah, we had a little more rain than I thought we was going to have this morning, just to be honest with you. Yeah, good to have you on board. The travel home looks pretty good. Don't see a whole lot of issues. Stay tuned. All right. Glad to have you on board. Appreciate you being with us. And for those folks visiting in the area, this is the whole feature time is drive time. And we'll have a prayer time as a part of that. And it is a live program originating from the studios of Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Association, a ministry and part of Anchor Baptist Church and Ministries, which is a nonprofit corporation of the state of North Carolina, a nonprofit religious organization of the state of North Carolina. You're listening to either to AM 720, 50,000 watt clear channel, the largest gospel station in the United States on the AM dial, or you're listening through the French Broad River Valley to 94.9 FM, or you're listening to WGCR.net, which is the oldest Christian station on the internet. And so we're glad to have you with us for this time together. And some folks are with us on Facebook and are viewing on Facebook. You can do that by logging into the Anchor Broadcasting page, and we have what's called visual radio. Remember Rush Limbaugh's Ditto Cam? Well, that's kind of what this is, all right? And so you can watch. I don't know why you'd want to, but you can, all right? So anyway, we do appreciate folks that are with us this afternoon. And I don't know, Michael, do we still switch over? Do y'all, Brianna, do they get to see the radar and stuff? Do the people watching, do they get to see the screens like I see them or no? They just see me.
They just see the weather.
They see the weather. They can see the weather. Okay. Do they see the radar? Do they see anything else?
Whenever
I talk about those things, you show those things. I thought you did. Okay. Okay. So whenever I'm, okay. So you get to see what I'm talking about. So you get to see, if you're on Facebook, you get to see the screens that I see. You see me, but then when I'm talking about something, they cut away from me and show you the screen that I'm talking about. Okay. I thought that's what they were doing. Well, I can't be over there and over here at the same time, so I never got to watch it. So anyway, well, let me tell you about something going on 40. This is over in the gorge. It's right where the Pigeon River gets up against the interstate there. And it gets up against it and runs on the right-hand side. Then it goes under. You know what I'm talking about? And then it goes into to the lake, Waterville Lake. Well, it's right there in that curve where the Pigeon River comes up against the interstate. It's slow right there, real slow. And I don't know what's the matter. It's 2-3 miles in there. What's the closest road? It's where Panther Creek runs in, but I don't know. Well, what is that called? And that's Fines Creek. It's before you get to Fines Creek. And then what's the next thing? It'd be Jonathan's Creek, where Jonathan Creek and the Pigeon River run together. That would be a good place to put it. And, I guess it's between Maggie Valley and Fines Creek. There's a slowdown on the westbound side, okay? Don't know what it is, but there's a slowdown. And it's pretty slow. We'll see if we can find out what that is. Also, in town, you've got some issues. And I don't know what this is. It rarely does this. It is backed up today, up toward UNCA Asheville, coming down into town, and then turning like you're going to go out 240, like you're going to go toward the Bowcatcher Cut, toward the malls, or toward the big mall, toward the Civic Center, that direction. All of that's slow right through there, and I don't have it. It rarely does that. It's usually getting on the bridge, but today it's going 240 east, and I don't know why. Westbound slow too, you know, around the arch of Asheville. That's about every day. But today we're also slow coming up onto the bridge. If you're coming up 240 westbound or I-26 westbound, having to cross over the bridge and then try to go on up, and make the crossover there on the bridge. That slows. The bridge is slow on both sides today. So just so you know. car wreck on Haywood Road. I don't know what that's going to impact. And it's between, it's on the east side of 240 on Haywood Road to the east side. Before you turn and go down to the down River Arch District that way, yeah, it's right in there. If you're looking at I-26 today, we're a little slow in the construction between 146 and the airport, but it should be because of that construction through there. So that's not a too big of a surprise. You're a little more backed up today on 25A than is normal. It's particularly coming south until you get to Mills Gap there to that red light. That backs up about every day, but today it's a little longer for some reason. 191 looks fine. 112 looks okay. Checking some of your secondaries, I don't see a whole lot to comment about. Everything looks pretty good thus far. Let me go down the mountain a little bit. Spartanburg's okay. Boy, something's wrong on I-85. Boy, they are turning Greenville into Crashville. My goodness. There is a wreck on I-85 north. There is a wreck on the ramp of 85 coming off of 385 going south. There is a wreck on North Academy Street just outside of downtown. And I-85 is stopped. If it's not stopped, it's crawling. And it's, I don't know why. They say that the crash is on the ramp, but actually, it looks like to me the crash is just above 385. It has got the interstate completely locked down all the way down past Pleasantburg. Yeah, it's locked down past Augusta Road. Yeah, it's past that. It's past 291 Augusta Road there. That's all stopped through there. All the way up to beyond 385 going north. And then once it does open up, it's slow from there all the way to another wreck. Okay. I-85 northbound. And it's showing where Batesville Road, South Batesville Road, comes under the interstate or over the interstate right there. That's where it's showing that it's bad at. Well, because the interstate's locked down, 14 is a mess. Everybody's trying to get off and run down to 14 and go up on 14. 14's bumper to bumper all the way up to Batesville Road. That is a bad one. Pelham Road on the east side of 85, that's a mess. Both sides is just stopped. There ain't no good way to get there from here, guys. It's just not good today. Try to avoid the interstate, but get as far away from it as you can because secondary roads on both sides of the interstate are jam-packed. Yeah, well, everybody's trying to do the same thing you are. They're trying to get home, and so that's a problem. Yeah, for sure, that is a problem. All right, well, glad to have you with us. We do appreciate the mercy of the Lord and appreciate you being here on a Tuesday afternoon. The showers, the front that came through, and it was a little bit of a front, came through here. It is now pretty much to the east of us. It cleared off pretty nicely, let the temperatures come up some, but you're going to notice that we are cooler behind this front, and it's going to be a couple of days of that. A lot of precipitation off to the east of us, off the coast of South Carolina, a lot of precipitation in the northeast, a big, big bunch of precipitation. But behind that is coming in some high pressure, but with it, much cooler temperatures. Like today, I'm looking at 70s all over the Appalachians. We're at 73 here. And even up in behind this, you wouldn't think about up in Louisville, Kentucky, and up in that way. It's in the low 70s today. And even up toward Indianapolis and all, it's like 71 degrees in Indianapolis right now. So, yeah, it's a high-pressure system bringing some cooler weather. And so 55 tonight, 77 is it tomorrow, 58 tomorrow night, 76 for Thursday, 58 Thursday night, 78 Friday, 62 Friday night, and then 80 degrees by Saturday, and that chance of showers comes back. And you got a little bit on Thursday evening, but for the most part, we're going to have a respite from the precipitation as this high pressure takes hold. And then when the rain does start back, it's every day. Yeah, starting on Saturday, they add it back in, and it's a pretty good chance. Better than 50-50 every day and night portion between now and next Tuesday, or between Saturday and Tuesday, looks like rain about every bit of the way. All right. Well, today is the 22nd day of the month of June, and our listeners' portion of our general budget today is being underwritten by Dr. Bob and Mrs. Linda Webb in honor of their 50th wedding anniversary, which they celebrated on June the 19th. And they want to thank God for their three children and their spouses and their nine grandchildren. And they say they have been blessed. And we appreciate the Webbs. Yeah, man. Appreciate so much. Dr. Webb had two tough callings. He not only was a full medical practicing medical doctor, but also a pastor. Started the United Covenant Mennonite Church. And started and built that work and pastored it, and was a doctor, both. And so, yeah, he had it tough. He believed in challenges for sure. We appreciate him, and he still practices a little in his retirement. But yeah, we appreciate the Webbs, sure do. Today, the 22nd, the network is being sponsored by the adult Sunday school class at the Stony Mountain Baptist Church in honor of Pastor Tommy Holbrooks and his wife, Teresa. And their wedding anniversary was yesterday, and we salute them. May God bless you and appreciate the Holbrooks. Thank you so very much. All right, I've got Miss Sharon Rice having her birthday today here from Anchor. Congratulations to Miss Sharon, and may God bless you with many, many more. Congratulations to Miss Sharon Rice. All right, well, let's see who is with us. I don't know what's going on out in California. We have got a huge audience today, and it's not just one town. It's interesting. It is the two biggest towns. Los Angeles is huge today, and San Francisco is also on with us, and so multiples. And so we're glad to have everybody with us today. Folks listening up in Alaska, but you never know where they are. It says Anchorage oftentimes, but that could be any of the villages. Well, they microwave their signals in and out of there. And so they have terrestrial microwave hops. And so wherever, I guess what you'd say is a lot of it comes out of Anchorage, and it could be about anywhere. But it will typically, you know, sometimes it'll show up as Anchorage. Springdale, Arkansas is on board today. Glad to have you. Did I mention San Jose along with Los Angeles and San Francisco? Friends out in Avon, Colorado with us again today. Augusta and Athens, Georgia. Plymouth, Minnesota, always glad to see. Nassau, New York, appreciate it. In North Carolina, my goodness, Murphy. How many people in Murphy are on? My soul, half of the town's with us. That's good. Raleigh, Brevard, Silva, Marion, Hendersonville. And I mentioned Murphy. Ottawa, Ontario. Toronto, Ontario. And then more Ottawa. Lancaster, Greer, Lancaster, Lancaster. A lot of folks in South Carolina. Richardson, Texas. Houston, Texas. Glad to have all of you with us. Somebody asked me the other day, say, Preacher, how you know that? Well, it's through the app, and just like if somebody gives you their phone number and your area code is 828, then what that says is that you are probably in Western North Carolina, and if it's not Western North Carolina, it means you got your phone in Western North Carolina. People got area codes everywhere these days. You know how that is. You don't have to be there with cell phones. Well, there's an area code in web addresses. And so, and we have a computer program. Our servers for the app are in Atlanta, Georgia. And so our servers down there, they have a decipher program that matches area codes, if you want to call it that, it's the easiest way to explain it. It matches the area code of the login with the town. Now, it can't always do it. It tells us a bunch of unknowns. So there are numbers. I've got a whole list of U is if I alphabetize it, it's the largest in the alphabet because we all these people, we don't know where they are. But we can see if you're where you're supposed to be. We can see sometimes. But now that's just the app. That does not include anything else. That's just the app. That's the only part that we can do. And we can't see anything other than that town. That's as far as it goes. So, yeah. Well, I said that. That's not exactly true. Sometimes I can tell what kind of device you're using. Yeah. I don't have it displayed right now, but there is a feature that it'll tell me it's an iPhone, it's an Android, it's a computer, it's an iPad. It can do that. And it doesn't tell you, I say that. I think it does it more with like iOS software, you know, Android software. So I think it's more what program you're using to listen to us with. I think that's how it works. Anyway, and by the way, that does not count any of our videos, Roku or any of the rest, doesn't count any of those, doesn't count the streaming services that carry the radio station, doesn't count those, doesn't count Facebook, none of those things, just the app, people who are just listening to the app. That's all. And here's the other part. It doesn't count the video channel. If you're on the preaching channel, the music channel, or WGCR.net, I can see you. If you're on the video channel, it's served differently, and it does not include the video channel. So I don't know who's on the video channel. Can't see that. All right, never know who that is. All right, my producer this afternoon is Mr. Michael Elsie, and my producer and my director is Brianna Quinn. And so if you'd like to give us a call, 577, that's the text line. If you want to give us a call, it's 884-9427, 884-9427. If you want to give us a call or a call, and if you want to give us a text, it's 577-1296. Now, the neat thing about that is that comes directly into my iPad, 577-1296, and I say it's mine. It's the control room, and it stays here all the time. People try to get me after hours on that number, and it doesn't work because I'm just that. This thing's a permanent fixture here in the control room, but it is handy because I can see you right directly. So if you want to talk directly to me, 577-1296, and that's a good way to do it. Okay, I think I'm caught up. All right, I think I am caught up. Well, I want to tackle a difficult subject today. I want to tackle a difficult subject. This time last year, you know what and all was going on with the COVID, and then of course with all the Black Lives Matter and all that. Well, a year later, there's still all kind of problems with that organization. The chapter founder in Minnesota has resigned, the Black Lives Matter chapter founder, claiming that the organization isn't concerned with helping black communities or helping to improve the educational quality in Minneapolis. And, according to a video that was released, this individual started a chapter in 2015 but became disillusioned after becoming part of the inside with the left-wing organization. Said that the group that rejects various provisions promoted by Black Lives Matter is publishing the video. Said, of course, they promote critical race theory and the assertion that the United States is inherently racist. This is a quote from Rashard Turner, who was the founder of that chapter. After a year on the inside, I learned they had little concern for rebuilding black families, and they cared even less about improving the quality of education for students in Minneapolis. And this guy's on video saying that. Well, you know, you can't, we have freedom of speech, but if you dare say things that are against public policy, then they'll ride you out on a rail. But I want to ask some questions, and I want somebody to answer me. I've got questions. Okay. I've got questions. I don't claim to have the answers. I just got questions. And I got lots of questions. Okay? Lots of questions. Today, I wanted to see what the Oxford Dictionary, and there's a bunch of different Oxford dictionaries, so I decided that I would look in the Oxford Dictionary of Philosophy. And I wanted to look up a word. It's a word that's being thrown around wholesale these days. So if I am one, I wanted to know what I am, okay? Because that's what everybody's claiming. Now, get this. I'm not being accused of being a racist because I had one of the first mixed-race baptisms ever occurring in Transylvania County a long time ago. They're not accusing me of being a racist for baptizing a white one and a black one and a white one and a black one. They didn't. That's not why they accuse me of being a racist. They're not accusing me of being a racist for all my work in the islands among direct immigrants from Africa, brought in as slaves for the sugar trade and all the other trades all throughout the Caribbean and the West Indies. Was with them today. Was on a Zoom call today to get more relief to the Caribbean, to a group of people who are still very pure in their race. And I don't say this with any derogatory, but they're some of the darkest people that I've ever dealt with. And they're my best friends. I preach for them. I'll be down there again. We're sending relief to them. But they're not accusing me of being a racist because of that. They're accusing me of being a racist because I'm white. My parents were both white, and we were primarily European, Scotch-Irish, English. So because of that, I'm racist because I am inherently, and I can't help it, according to what they're telling me, that I can't help it, but I am a racist because I was born white, and the sins of my ancestors visit me. Well, I got news for about the ancestor part. The word Barton, it comes from the term, it actually means, in Old English, Barton means a barley barn. It is the name of a shed, a barn, a barley barn. If you know anything about barley, barley bread is pretty strong. If you eat rye bread and barley bread, it's got a very strong taste to it. And the law of England was the whiter your bread, B-R-E-A-D, the better your bread, B-R-E-D. In other words, the rich white folks ate wheat bread and highly refined white bread. But poor people ate the same grain as the animals did. Barley was a grain that was used to feed the animals. But the poor people ground it into powder and ate it too. But it's very strong. Barley bread is strong. And it's dark. My very name, my surname, indicates that we were farmers. Poor farmers. The poorest of farmers. If you go back and check my ancestry, you won't find any wealth. You won't find any land. You won't find any deeds. It's because my family were in servitude to the rich landowners. Now, even though we were the same color as the guy living in the big house, my ancestors worked the land and made a living, and all the profits went to the guy in the big house. There are no Barton mansions. There are no Barton estates from yesteryear. We came from the poor side of things. When we came to the United States, we stayed that way. Stayed poor. And we came to the mountains because it was cheap and to get away from religious persecution and discrimination. Our family were Baptist. and Baptist was not recognized in colonial America, and therefore we were persecuted for being Baptist and not belonging to the state church. So we were discriminated against. My family, as far as we know, until they got to the New World, never even owned property, much less slaves. Yet, I'm supposed to be guilty for the crimes of my ancestors. Well, you understand what I'm saying? Of course, that violates scriptural principle. You know that. But I told you I had some questions. I want to tell you what Oxford Dictionary says. Let me tell you what Oxford Dictionary says racism is, and then you tell me. Okay? Racism, according to the Oxford Dictionary of Philosophy, is a devaluation of various traits of character or intelligence as typical in particular people. And let me read it to you again. Racism means the devaluation of various traits of character or intelligence as being typical of particular people or people groups. Now, having said that, that's what Oxford said. The devaluation of various traits of character or intelligence as typical of a particular people group. Well, I got some questions to the woke crowd. Colleges now, as a part of their woke agenda, have decided that they're giving preferential admission to people of color. They are not going to base the admission to college on academic achievements, on community involvement, upon leadership, but they're going to base enrollment into college solely on the shade of one's skin. Now, here's my question. Do the colleges believe that this anti-racism policy, that's what it's branded as? So my question is, do you believe, colleges, do you believe that blacks as a people or blacks as a group aren't gifted enough to go to college? Or that they can't measure up to the admission standard, and therefore they have to be admitted solely upon the color of their skin? Is that what you're saying? Well, if that's what you're saying, you're racist. Let's go back to our definition. You gotta get mad at the dictionary. Don't get mad at me. Dictionary says racism is the devaluation of various traits of character or intelligence as typical of particular peoples. Now, if you're saying that blacks can't meet up to the admission standards of state colleges and private colleges around America and they have to be given preferential treatment to be admitted to college, you are saying that as a race, they either lack the intelligence, the aptitude, the ability to apply to a college? What are you saying? So this anti-racism thing is actually, by definition, racism in capital letters. To say that any people are smarter than the others by the color of their skin, or less intelligent than others by the color of their skin. I mean, Hitler was a racist. He believed in white supremacy. And if you were white, you automatically were smarter than everybody else. Well, he found out that wasn't the case, didn't he? My point is, that's racism. According to the dictionary, it's racism. In Virginia, there are public schools in Virginia. Virginia is one of the most liberal states on the East Coast. They're south of the Mason-Dixon line, but I'm telling you, one of the most liberal states because of their governor. And they're so close to D.C. The public school system is proposing to do away with the upper-level math courses, to take it out of the public school curriculum in the name of equality and racism. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would you do that? Why would you take the upper level math? I'm assuming it's trig. I'm assuming it's calculus. That's what I'm assuming. And do you need those for college? Yes, you do. Do you need those in engineering and other scientific degrees? Yes, you do. So why would you take those things out when you're going to have it? Why would you do that? In the name of racism. Virginia, are you saying that blacks can't do upper level math? Are you saying that people of color aren't good at math? That's racism. What's the definition? Hang on. What's the definition? What's the definition? What's the definition of racism? The definition of racism is, according to Oxford's Dictionary of Philosophy, the devaluation of various traits of character or intelligence as typical of particular peoples. So if we're going to take out trig and calculus out of the public school curriculum in Virginia because it's racist, what you're saying is that that blacks aren't good at math. And that's ridiculous, folks. That is absolutely ridiculous. As a matter of fact, that ought to be the most offensive thing that the black community's ever heard, that they would do that. But let's get to the big one. Coca-Cola, are you listening? In Georgia, new voting requirements. Okay? One of the requirements to vote in the state of Georgia, and of course you know the debacle that they had in the presidential election, and so they're trying to fix it. This is what they've done. You now have to have an ID to vote. Got to have your ID. I don't even know where we are in North Carolina. We had it, then we didn't, then we had it, then we didn't. I think we had it right now, but we probably won't next week. But anyway, here's the deal. The new voting requirements in Georgia, you have to have an ID. And everybody is saying that's racist. It's racist to have an ID to vote. Well, now wait a minute. If you have a pain medicine that's a narcotic, you have to have your ID. If you have a cold and you need to buy a decongestant, you have to have an ID. If you get your ears pierced, you have to have an ID. If you go to the doctor, you have to have an ID. As far as I know, to get food stamps, you have to have an ID. Everything you do in this world, to open a bank account, you have to have an ID. Obviously, if you drive an automobile, you have an ID. To have a gun permit, you have to have an ID. To do most of what we do in this country, you have to have an ID. If you buy alcohol, now think about what I'm fixing to say. If you buy alcohol and you look less than 40 years of age, you have to have an ID. If you buy tobacco and you look less than 18 years old, you have to have an ID. Now, so to say that it's discriminatory against blacks, if they have to go get an ID in order to vote, it's trying to suppress the black vote. Well, let me ask you, Coca-Cola and all you other cronies, What you're saying is you don't believe that blacks have the life skills to obtain an ID? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying that black people are not responsible enough? Black people are not resourceful enough to go get a government-issued ID? Is that what you're saying? In the state of Georgia. That's exactly what you're saying. What else could you be saying? So you're saying that there are black people who exist who have never, so they're not, you mean older folks, they're not drawing Social Security because they didn't get an ID? To get a job, you got to have an ID. To work a job, so they never worked, never going to get Social Security, never going to get public assistance because you got to have an ID to get public assistance. Can't buy beer, can't buy liquor, can't buy wine, can't buy alcohol, can't drive an automobile, can't go to the doctor, can't get a prescription filled. So are you saying that there are a bunch of, you sound like there's a bunch of blacks out on a plantation picking cotton barefoot, and that they don't have the resources to get a ride into town to get an ID. They don't have a birth certificate. They have no way of getting an ID. Folks, that is inflammatory. That is absolutely idiotic to say that about an entire group. I don't see why the blacks are not marching in the streets in front of Coca-Cola and all these other outfit that's embraced that trash. Gonna pull out. Pull out, bless your heart. Pull out. I'll drink Mountain Dews. Try to get a document notarized without an ID. You got to show your ID. New regs. They've got to see your ID and they got to put down your number. None of this squeezing things and testifying things that are not around. Nope. You understand what I'm saying? You can't go to the DMV. You can't do anything without your driver's license. You can't write a stinking check without your driver's license. And to say that blacks are not going to be able to vote and it's going to throw the vote in Georgia because you got to have an ID. Listen, let me tell you what their problem is. They're not afraid that people are going to vote once. They're afraid they're going to vote many times. They won't get to vote many times. And they won't get to vote in this precinct here and change counties and vote over there and change counties and vote over yonder. It's going on and everybody knows it's going on. They're bussing them in by the busloads and everybody knows it. And they got caught. But even the president of the United States couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't make it stick. But they got caught. Was it enough to change the outcome of the election? Apparently not. But it happened. No, you better know it happened. And it happened in large numbers. It's still going on in Arizona. Oh, yeah. There's still a mess out there about the vote count. What's it called? Maricopa County? That's not the name of it. What's it called? Anyway, there's still an uproar about that out there. There's still about that. I mean, this long into it. This is May. And the election was in November. And it's still not settled out there. Let me just go back to my definition again. Okay, let me go back to my definition. Let's get Oxford back on the. Let's put Oxford back on the. And would you say that Oxford's a right wing fanatics? Would you call Oxford University right wing fanatics? I wouldn't think so. I looked at two or three. But the problem with when you look at like Webster's, Merriam-Webster's online, if you get the old Webster's. When you get the new one, it begins to, it's already got the word woke culture in it. It's got all this other stuff. I'm not looking for that. I want to know, I don't want to have to define terms and traits and philosophies. I want to know what the word means. What does the word racism mean? Oxford reference says the devaluation of various traits of character or intelligence. So let's read it without that first one. The devaluation of intelligence as typical of particular people, or the devaluation of character, of the traits of character. The people have less character of particular people. Yeah, various gates of devaluation of traits of character, devaluation of intelligence of a particular people. That's racism. That's racism. And this whole woke thing, I don't know where that word come from. Don't know. Don't, it's crazy. But here's what I'm trying. And this whole, the CRT, this whole mess. Well, what I'm trying to say is that nobody's challenging this mess. Everybody's afraid of it. Everybody's afraid of what they'll do to them. And oh yeah, if they get on you, it's rough. It's real bad. But I'm gonna do it this way. I'm gonna tell you, put your money where your mouth's at. Instead of running your mouth, get down here and help us load these containers going to the black people of the Caribbean. Instead of running your mouth, get down here and help us pack these scriptures going to Africa, to the black people in Africa. It makes me mad. It makes me mad all over. I've got a young man who is heading up our relief operations in St. Vincent. He is so black, and I am not making fun of him. I'm as white as a snowflake. He is as black that sometimes on Zoom, if his lighting's not good, I can't hardly see him. He's not brown. He is black. I mean, he is as black as midnight. But he's one of the smartest, one of the most organized. Son, he can handle it. I mean, he handled that entire ship coming in. He got all the paperwork. He had the government eating out of his hand. I mean, you talk about sharp. And the thing about it is, we got a whole fellowship of pastors and churches. Today, we've got 13 distribution centers opened to black people, giving out relief and food and clothing. This past Saturday, we had a big celebration, and we invited all the people down from all of the disaster area, from the volcano, and they came in. I mean, bunches of them. We had a big barbecue, and we gave out clothes, and they were thrilled. It was almost a carnival-like atmosphere. Saturday. This past Saturday. I just got off the phone. I just got off Zoom to come straight to the air. Trying to plan two more containers to ship to Puerto Rico, to get on the ship, to ship to St. Vincent. And the only reason I've not been to St. Vincent is because I've got a quarantine when I get there. It's the only reason I've not been. They want a mandatory quarantine. And John, good point. 90% of the people we helped in Katrina were black. And we stayed down there almost a year. We run 50-something loads to Hurricane Katrina. Probably 90-something percent of the people we helped were black. Some of the greatest people I've ever worked with. I heard all this stuff, they're looting. I heard that they're doing all this stuff and they're taking all this stuff and doing all this stuff. So in a different place than we were. They'd be there. If we told them we'd be there at midnight, they'd be there. There'd be a gang of people there, help unload the trucks. You ought to seen it. Some of the most grateful people I've ever dealt with. Oh, a bunch of junk. To say that all white people are, you can't do that. All you can say is they're all white. It's the only common characteristic of white people. There is many different things you could say about white. To say that they're all something, you can't say that about all of them. And you can't say that about black people. You can't say that about brown people. You can't say that about Oriental people. I've been to the Orient many times. They're some of the greatest people. I mean, they're some of the most hospitable people. I've met some most hospitable people there, and they'll rob you blind. Both. They're some of the biggest thugs. There's some of the most wickedness goes on any place on earth. And yet the saved people love God and are hospitable. But that's true in the islands. Oh, listen. I mean, you just have to go where I go. You just have to follow me around. If I'm in the care, I preach to more black people on trips, on mission trips, than I ever do whites. And being in my white hurts me. I'm serious. It's against me. Until they figure out that you're not there as the great white father, that you're there as a brother. And when they find out that that you believe that the ground at the foot of the cross was level and they were all saved by the same red blood, then they're good. Have you in their home? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful people. And it's same here. We got some good ones. We got some bad ones. We got some good people in Transylvania County. We got some sorry people in Transylvania County. Yep. But to say that they're all this color, or that they're all this color, or that they all speak this language, or that they all part their hair on this side, it's a lie. It's a lie. You can't say that. That is racism. By definition, it's racism. And so all of these things going on in the woke culture, what they're reinforcing racism. When someone gets a job and gets promoted on the job simply by the color of their skin, that's racism. Call it affirmative action if you want to. It's racism. When you pass by, hey, if you had a black man that was more qualified, that had more years on the job, that had more experience, and you passed him up for a supervisor position because a young guy come in that was white, that's racism. And if you did it vice versa, it's still racism. Doesn't matter which way you done it, it's still racism. And I hate it. I despise it. It violates everything that Bible stands for. And it makes me mad all over when I see it. Closest I ever come. Closest, well, I say that, that's not true. One of my close calls, and I've had a bunch. One of my close calls, I was cutting through a back alley in Cairo, Egypt. And I had a translator with me. And I was on an errand, and so we cut through. We had to park, and so we cut through. And we come up a back alley. And I came upon a bunch of Egyptian children. And I say children, they were around just early teen boys. And they were throwing rocks at a black woman. And son, I went ballistic. I mean, I went ballistic. I'd seen racism, but I'd never seen I'd never seen like that. And they were rocking her simply because she was black. And son, I went all to pieces. And my translator very quickly grabbed me and he said, "You better quit." And I said, "I ain't putting up with that. They ain't treating her like that." And he said, "Well, they just soon stone you. They look at you about like they look at her. And you better get out of this alley. We better get out of here now." And she got out. I made sure she got out. But she did get hit with some rocks. But I was ready to fight the whole outfit. I never been so mad in my life. I want to take my belt off and wear them out is what I wanted. But that wouldn't have worked either. But I want to tell you from where that, I have been the recipient of it. I was in Saudi Arabia on the Eid al-Mubarak, the eve of Ramadan. The sun was down. I'd been to Kuwait. I was on the way back. We had not had anything to eat. We couldn't get anything to drink. We stopped at a little old desert place for the night. I went into the restaurant to try to get something to drink, something to eat, and the waiters took their trays and their aprons and shooed me out the door like I was a wet dog because I was white and I was violating their feast. And I would have contaminated them and they would not have been able to celebrate Ramadan because I was, because of my race. And I went to bed that night. I turned the spigot on and it was an old sand well. The water was as dark as tea. And I went to bed that night dehydrated, headache because I was so dehydrated. I thought about drinking that water out of that spigot. That's how bad it was. Little old nasty hotel. And I decided not to, but they wouldn't sell me water. They wouldn't give me anything. I couldn't get nothing. I couldn't get nothing to eat, couldn't get nothing to drink. And the next day, everybody was closed because it was Ramadan. Been there. Now, nothing, I'm not talking about, you know, long term, and that's a small thing in comparison to what some people have put up with. But I'm just saying, I am not without it. Listen, I had that baptizing whites and blacks together in the river. We was having a tent meeting. They was getting saved. There's a white and a black and a white and a black and an altar. Never considered it. Never even thought nothing about it. The KKK burned a cross within seeing distance of that tent. And as two of them rascals tried to come under the tent. They didn't have hoods on. Two rednecks. When they started under the tent, they was coming for me. And I didn't know what to do. I was in the pulpit. And I said, let's pray. And I just went to praying. And in a second, I heard gravel spinning. And I heard rocks again hitting the sides of the cars. And they sprayed the cars with their gravel and slung all over them. And prayed them out. They left. But I got news for them. I had some old black boys that hadn't been saved long. And I had some whites too. They hadn't been saved just a few days. And what they don't realize is if they'd laid hands on me, they'd have been trouble. Because some of my boys hadn't been saved long. They'd have been trouble. Lord, would they have been trouble. I was on the streets of Brevard 40 years ago. Longer than that. And I had some of my black boys with me. They'd gotten saved. I'd taken them to get a haircut. And we were walking down the street. And one of them spoke to a girl, a white girl, in a car, sitting on the side of the road. They just walked by, and one of the boys, he spoke to that girl. I was right beside him. And we walked a few more steps, and one of the boys come running by me, a hollered, one of the black boys. And I turned around, and that daddy of that girl had a tool in his hand and was chasing one of my guys for talking, for saying something to his, for speaking to his daughter. So we had a showdown right there almost in front of the courthouse. That black boy run jump behind me. And by the way, that boy could have body slammed him. But I said, you better put that tool back down. You better get back in that truck. I said, you better get back in that truck right now or there's going to be trouble. And I drew my fist back. I mean, I'm a preacher. But he wasn't going to jump on him for speaking to his daughter because she is white, he is black. I won't put up with it. And I about had to fight a man on the front of the courthouse in Brevard. No, I'm not as qualified as some to address the issue. But I can tell you this. A lot of what's being addressed, they're not addressing the issue at all. This is a Band-Aid. It's a smokescreen. It's a political agenda. It's a bunch of junk. And if anybody thinks that burning a town down is favorable to the cause to stop racism, they're crazy. It just reinforces the stereotypes that we have all inherited. God help us to quit thinking like man thinks, to quit thinking like the liberal left thinks, and to begin to think God's thoughts in view of God's word through the lenses of Scripture. What is wrong with this country? May God help us. It makes me sick. And I cannot seem to get an audience to even understand what I'm talking about. To say that people with blue eyes have got to have special privileges because people with blue eyes are not as smart as people with brown eyes. Or people with green eyes are smarter than people with blue eyes. If you have dark eyes, then you're smarter than people with blue eyes. People with blue eyes are not intelligent. And so therefore, we got to make special provision for people with blue eyes. What's the difference? What's the difference? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, you said that if we would confess our sins, Lord, you said that if we would turn from our wicked ways, then would you heal our nation. Lord, we know what we're reaping is the benefits of our sin and our wickedness and our ungodliness. And Lord, we know that Scripture declares that professing themselves wise, they become fools. And Lord, when you say somebody is a fool, they're a fool indeed. And Lord, help us not to be fooled by the fools who have no idea what they're saying. And by their reactions, they're actually reinforcing the very heart of racism in America. Help us, Lord. We need your help. Meet the need of every heart, those that are sick, those that are hurting. Touch them, we pray. Give Brother Walton special grace and peace, his dear wife. Lord, have your way in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Till we meet again with On the Air, In the Air, may God richly bless you is our prayer.